Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car. Special episode because we're actually talking to me in the car, but we're talking to me in the coronavirus. Every day we'll have a new episode, and typically this is a podcast all about things related to teaching that we can learn in bite-sized chunks. Every Monday a new episode comes out, but in light of where we are with this coronavirus, as an instructional coach, I think it's so important to keep our skills sharp as educators. And if we're going to be away from our classrooms, if your school's been affected as a closure or as a delay or a modified schedule with distance learning, whatever it looks like, I think it's important to give good resources to teachers. And so this podcast is going to be on special assignment for the foreseeable future. I know I personally am off until April 20th. As a Catholic school, we have a late spring break, which is the week after the Easter holiday. Many schools have an earlier spring break, which is the one that leads up to the Easter holiday. But because ours is scheduled to have been later, here we go. I'm off now. I'm off to our spring break, and I'm off through our spring break, at which time, hopefully, things will be in a better place. Our pandemic will be under control, and I'll be able to get back in my classroom, which I would really love to do. But in the meantime, if your school is anything like mine, you probably were given very little notice, and you had to turn around and develop a action plan for how to get your students doing distance learning, quote unquote, whatever that means for your school, with very little in the way of time to prep that activity. So as we're doing more and more distance learning as a reality for the 21st century, I wanted to offer every day on this podcast, while we still are on this hiatus, chance to just sort of dive deep and look at tools and strategies and tips that we can use to make our classes engaging, even if we're not physically on site with our students. So we'll get into that today. First, some housekeeping notes. If you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more, the podcast, like I said, it'll be every day during the coronavirus shutdown for my school. Typically, the podcast is every Monday, but if you want to hear more or want to connect with me, I'm on Twitter, and I would love to keep the conversation going, and I have a lot of free time now because the school days are not happening. So I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name and EDU like teaching, and I would love to connect with you and do whatever I can to make your lives better with this and connect with your lesson plans and help you connect with your students in ways that'll be engaged and exciting, so that we don't lose all of our pace when we come back to school, whenever that is. I also have a website where I share a bunch of templates and resources, activities, plans, things that you can use for your students, and whether you're in place or away, getting them engaged is so important. So let's do it. My website is www.edrenalinerush.com. It's Edrenaline, like education, Edrenaline. I have a book on there too. It's called Adrenaline Rush. It's all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. And what's cool about the distance learning is you can do some of those things even when you're far away. An escape room, for example, you can do it as an online version of an escape room with like a puzzle that if you're in the right way, it goes to the right room. And if you're going the wrong way, it goes to the wrong room or a dead end. You can challenge students with things like that. There's a lot more to be done with that. We'll talk about that more in the days and the weeks ahead. But today I want to talk to you about specific, I guess like the Holy Trinity or the big three of tech tools that you can use to make your life easier during any distance learning scenario. We started 2 days ago with like the ground rules of teaching for distance classes. Yesterday we talked into like some homework expectations and some like at 20,000 feet what it can look like to design the type of assignments that we can reasonably expect our students can complete while at home. But today I wanted to go into a more granular kind of deep dive about three different pedagogical approaches that I think are going to be essential if you plan on doing distance learning. And whether you teach littles or middles, high schools or older students, these are the three things that I find to be really most essential. I'm sure there are many more, and we'll talk over the course of the days to come about other ways to get students engaged, tools and strategies. And the beauty part as educators is this 2 to 3 weeks, 4 weeks off from school is some time for you to do some personal research and development, where you can check out a tool or a tech or a tip that I'll mention on the podcast, you find online, and you can kind of do some deep dive and play with it, take it through its paces and say, hey, I think we can do this. And if you have these three backbone supports set up, you can introduce new tools or new pedagogies to your students, even if they've never done it before, because you'll have a two-way communication. Whether we do version A, version B, and version C of the backbone stuff I'll talk about momentarily, If you have two-way communication with your students, it'll be critical to continued success so we don't fall too far off our rails going forward. And so I want to talk about those three things. And as an overview, I'm talking about discussion forums, I'm talking about video, and I'm talking about voice. So discussion forums, video, and voice. And there are myriad ways to kind of approach this, but discussion forums, video, and voice, two-way communication will be essential in these weeks ahead. Though you can certainly, and you're welcome to, continue to send emails to your students every day. Or daily updates. You know, you're welcome to say, hey guys, I posted this to our website or our learning management site. You're welcome to do that. That's very one-way communication though. And inviting everyone to send you an email back could result in you getting 100 or 200 emails a day from the students themselves, to say nothing of their families or their parents to send more emails. That's a lot of time spent staring at your inbox waiting for new messages to pop in. I would generally caution against that approach, which is why I'm talking about discussion forums, videos, and voice. So like, I'll talk about each one in closer detail for about 2 to 3 minutes, and we'll wrap up today's conversation with, you know, a prompt that says, hey, what else could be working for you? We'd love to have further conversation about it. But let's talk about discussion forums. If your school has access to a paid learning management software, my school, for example, uses Final Sight. I've seen other schools use like Blackboard or Edmodo or Moodle or iModules, whatever your site's LMS is. In this day and age, many, if not all, schools do have some web-based element to their school, even just a front-facing web page to your school. Looking at what discussion forums can look like, a discussion forum, if you're not super geeky, you don't hang out too much on the internet, is a chance for people to post their comments in an open space, and then other folks to reply in an open space, much like you could use Facebook. So Bob posts on his Facebook page, hey everybody, I'm looking to buy a new fishing rod. Do you have any ideas of the best fishing rods? And then Sue and Jane and Tim and Mark can make their comments. Oh, the best rod to get is the blah, 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 blah. Oh, here's the link to the one that I found. I find it really helpful. Here's a video of so-and-so using that rod in a test review. It's the favorite I've seen, whatever that looks like. That same discussion forum allows Bob, the original poster, to post back in and reply to each one. Oh, this is really helpful. I never saw that before. Or, hey, this is a great tip. Thanks so much. Do you know how much it costs? And that crowdsourced idea of conversation that comes from the masses can be really helpful because it allows us as educators a chance to see one another and connect with one another, even if we're not in the face-to-face with where our students are. So if you have discussion forums on your school's LMS, you as the administrator open the board, which is just like a discussion forum, like a bulletin board, and then you make that first post with the discussion prompt. From there, everyone replies back in, and then one by one by one, those comments, they're welcome to like reply to one another, reply to you, or reply to the original post, which is helpful because you can use that same thread for a discussion for like 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 days in a row. Hey everybody, we were just talking about The Great Gatsby. What character do you find to be most offensive? Tell me why. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, post your responses here in the forum. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Anybody who posts is able to then read the post that came above them, and they're able to post their thoughts like a threaded discussion right after the person ahead of them. So if person A says, you know, I find Tom Buchanan to be repugnant, and here's my reasons why. Boom, 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 boom. Someone else turns back around and says, no, I disagree. The worst character in this book is Jordan Baker. And the reason for that is dot, 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 dot. I love that. It leaves our students a chance to not only hear your voice, but to hear one another's voice. The discussion forums can be really, really helpful for that. That said, if your school does not currently have a paid, dedicated place for discussion forums, it's hard to replicate that in, a Google document. Though you can open it up and just say, all right, guys, here's a Google document. Everyone has shared access as editors. I'll post the first comment. Go ahead and post your comments right underneath it. And then one by one by one, as students start to post their comments in, the blank Microsoft Word document starts to fill up with different, you know, voices inside of it. It might be easiest if you created like a spreadsheet and did the same thing. Hey, I'll post in row 1. You want to post in row 2 or row 3 or row 4 with your comments so we can keep it separate. You know, person puts their name and then their comment and so on. It's not elegant, but it is serviceable. If your school does not have an LMS that has discussion features enabled, it's one way to get it done. You can also have students create blogs through, you know, things like Seesaw or things like WordPress, which allow you, if your school has given the rights for this activity, person A makes the post, and then person B is able to look at that post and reply directly to it. So it's like comments on a blog, like you'd see in a blog in the world outside of school. That's awesome. If your school is squirrely about that stuff, and I understand it, other more safe, protected things so that students are not posted to the open world to see conversations are password-protected conversations places like Flipgrid. And Flipgrid leads us into number two, which is the power of video. Discussion forums are good because you have your voice going back and forth and back and forth. And if you wanted to, you can do that on, like I said, an LMS or something like a website or a blog. But if you've used Flipgrid, Flipgrid has a great ability to dive deep into video sharing, where you as the teacher can post the first video or a prompt with a video, and then students use their devices to record short videos in response to your main prompt, and can likewise reply to one another in a prompt conversation. So if Billy says, hey, here's how I, you know, did this quadratic equation I solved for X, Bobby could then reply to Billy's video with another video saying, hey, I like your steps. When you said X, Y, and Z, it made me think of A, B, and C, and I think you were right because blah, 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 blah. That's helpful. That video sharing is almost like replicating a Socratic seminar in the classroom. Likewise, if you as a teacher want to launch into video-launched conversations of your own or video-style chats of your own, considering things like a Google Meet, which used to be called Google Hangouts, where you make a short video of yourself that's like a video chat that other students can drop in during. So you can say, hey guys, we're having a webinar. It'll be at 2 o'clock on Tuesday. Would love if you're able to drop in. And then students are able to pop in with you and have a conversation where it's an open forum. They can ask questions. They can see your face. They can hear your voice. And you can even share your screen to kind of model what it looks like. The challenge with this is that not every student will have guaranteed internet access at home at the same time, if they have internet access at all. And so it is in some ways prohibitive to ask all students, make sure you're here at 2 o'clock on Friday, because what if that's the one time they have access to the doctor's office? Or what if that's the time where their parents need access to the internet because they have a work-related thing and they only have one internet-ready device in the house? Or what if they have a brother or sister they have to take care of, or whatever that looks like, right? So we do have to be mindful of that. But knowing your constituents, it's a really helpful way. You can also set up time slots, like as if you went to the dentist office or to the Apple store. And parents or students can sign up on a sign-up genius. Hey, I'm opening digital office hours starting at 10 a.m. today. Sign up for one of these time slots between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And it'll be about 15 minutes where you can just push a button and I'll give you a video call. Hang out by your computer. That way you know that Bobby is available at that time and you video chat with Bobby and just talk face-to-face about, hey, Bobby, what are you learning? What can I do to help? That can be really, really helpful. That leads me to this third thing, which is, but maybe your students do not have the capabilities for video chat on their devices, or maybe you don't feel comfortable in your PJs sitting around your house while your cat's hopping on your shoulder having a video chat. No problem. So maybe Google Hangouts or maybe Skype or you know, a Zoom meeting is not what makes most sense for you, and that's fine. Consider the possibility of using voice chats, and voice chats can work in one of like two or three different ways. You can just as easily set up a Skype Hangout or a Google Hangout where you just use your voice instead of video. You can use your good old-fashioned cell phone or your house phone and call a student's house and say, hey guys, I just want to talk, and like have a phone conversation with your students. And it doesn't even have to be a serious conversation. It's just be, I just want to check in with you. How you doing? Yeah, this is pretty crazy, right? It's weird. We're away from school. How you holding up? What can I do to help you out? I just want to listen in. I want to check in with you. And that could be a really helpful, very positive, very affirming thing, like that positive phone call home. We've been told how many times that can make an impact. What if you're now able to take that time over the course of an 8-hour day and say, okay, if I can do 4 or 5 phone calls an hour, or 5 to 6 phone calls an hour, or 8 to 10 phone calls an hour, I can just say, you know, Tuesday, that's my phone call day. And I'm going to call every one of the students that I teach. And I'm going to set up a time where each of them will say, hey, it'll be a 5-minute phone call. Just keep your phones nearby. I'll answer any questions you have. Check in once a week. Why not? That's awesome. If you don't feel comfortable calling with your personal cell phone or your personal house phone, that makes sense. You don't want to burn your data plan, or you don't want to have those conversations where students would have access to your cell phone number. I get it. There's a really cool service called Google Voice. And Google Voice is amazing for voice chats because you use it and it sets up a proxy phone number that you dial in from. So no one ever knows your real number. It rings through to students, and it even has its own dedicated voicemail that if they were to call you back, they'd leave a voicemail not on your personal mailbox, but on the mailbox for your Google Voice account. And the Google Voice accounts are, I think, free if you use your personal email addresses to sign up for them. If you have a school email address, it actually winds up, I think, costing a few bucks to your school per month. There's like a charge or a rate because it's like the education version of it. But personally, I think it's like 20 bucks for a school per user per month. And if you as a school do not feel comfortable with that, then do the freebie version, which is just you. And that's awesome. I've used it in my own life to just record podcasts with friends where everyone dials in and we hit the record button, and that's awesome. You can certainly do that. Talk about voice chats. You can likewise have voice chats with students where you set up a Google Hangout and you hit the record button on your end with like a podcasting app where anybody who's dialed in can likewise record. So you can say, hey, these three students got together. We talked about like a roundtable style discussion, 15 minutes where we talked about mitosis or meiosis or whatever it is. And students had to explain to us what they understand about Punnett squares or genotypes and phenotypes or karyotypes. And that's cool because it's just a dialogue, almost like a Socratic seminar, where students are just joining in as a simple conversation. And you've set it up through a Google Hangout, but their voices are then recorded on your podcasting app, whether it's a Zencastr or Audacity or something else. And when you have all of that stuff recorded, you then take that sound file and push it right back out to all students, either as an email or as a Google Drive or something to upload to the internet. And just like I can record this podcast, you have a podcast with multiple voices dialed in. How cool. Sharing their voices in a much larger audience is great. If you don't feel comfortable with any of those things, you can certainly use Voxer. Voxer is great to leave voice-threaded conversations. Voxer is a free app that doesn't cost anything to put on any cell phone. You then create a group, and that group chat works just like a text message thread. But instead of just sharing text, they can also share voice, and they can share video. You can teach world languages. This is an awesome way to get students practicing in the target language. You post the morning prompt, hola, and then bam, 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 asking questions about like, what are you doing in your daily routine? Please reply with your voice threads here in Spanish or in the target language. Or hey, students of Latin or students of Chinese or students of French, here's a way that the coronavirus is affecting, you know, location one, location two, location three. Read this short article, which is there in the voice thread, and then when you're ready, tell us what you're thinking about that article. What are your impressions? Use Voxer here to make your communication. They can hear one another's voice, and then it's not just you talking every day. It's a two-way communication where you push something out and you heard something back in. I always say if reading is breathing in, then writing is breathing out. But students don't have to write in words. They can write with pictures, or they can write with their voices, so that maybe they're not sitting down and hammering out essay after essay staring at a screen, but they're just having a chance to be in dialogue with one another because they can hear themselves. And so much of our school succeeds when our students do hear their voices. How do we amplify that in this time away? Again, I love discussion forums, video chat, and voice communication. Really, really empowering, really helpful. And then consider for yourself at the end of each week, maybe a family newsletter where you send something out like, hey, here's the highlights of great things we've seen with sample work products from students 1, 2, and 3. An awesome, awesome way to keep families and friends and students engaged, looking forward to new content, regardless of what you're teaching. So I hope this gives you some ideas on this third day about a deep dive into some tech tools. I want to thank you again for sticking around for some longer podcasts this week and more regular podcasts. It's a different time, and it's the first time in education history that we are kind of expecting distance learning to be a reality or an expectation from all of our schools all around the world. And so what can we do to, you know, change the game and still learn from our mistakes so that we can model best practices and really infuse our classrooms going forward with elements of these things so that, you know, if and when we have to make new preparedness plans, we say, hey, this is actually pretty second nature to my students because we've been working through these tools, integrated through these hybrid flipped models going forward, which ultimately helps everybody out with better pedagogy in the days and weeks and years ahead. Thanks again for tuning in today. More episodes tomorrow. We'll be in deep dive, like I said, more and more and more as we keep going with showcases, with spotlights, with questions, with mailbags. Please message me, let me know how I can help, and let's change the game in our classrooms. Thanks again. See you tomorrow.